In Deuteronomy chapter 15, I'd like to discuss fat liberals tonight. Deuteronomy 15 is a chapter that it deals in general with the ceremonial seventh year releases and differences and freedoms and blessings that would be bestowed. But at the 11th verse, there is some specific instruction. Of course, if you back up to verse 10, 1, 2, 3, the fourth word in, on verse number 10, the fourth word in, give, which governs the theme. And if we go back to our theme that we've been beating down for a couple of weeks now on reaping and sowing, and its relationship to the Bema seat, tonight, our comments are directed in that general direction, in as much as on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to continue a bit of survey-type examination of the Bema Seat judgment. It is here in this place where God addresses not so much quantity of blessing, but quality, which relates to attitude. So we look at verse 11. He says, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. And that's basically, Jesus reiterated that in the New Testament. He said, the poor you'll always have with you. He says, therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand, and the next word is? Okay. So if we link the word give to the word wide, we're getting in a certain area. Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. Then verse 12, if thy brother, a Hebrew man or Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. Now, if we link the word give and we link the word wide and we link the word free, we continue to get an idea here. Verse 13, and when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. And then verse 14, to our point now. Thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally, out of the flock, thy flock, and out of thy floor, out of thy winepress, of that, and here's most important part of it all that deals with the concept of replication that adds weight, literally, to the substance of Christian testimony, where it says, wherewith you give, you furnish liberally, wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Which is to say, as God prospers you, give in the same proportion. And the key words here is the open the hand wide and furnish liberally. So we're speaking about a little bit of fat liberals. As a matter of fact, the word here is used, the Hebrew word is used twice in the same verse. Double emphasis. And the word means to put a collar on someone. And if we connect to what we've been talking about from Titus chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 about adornment, this same Hebrew word is used, or the concept is used in two other places that actually describe someone having a gold chain put on their neck. Case in point, Pharaoh rewarded Joseph in Genesis 41, verse 42, with a golden chain, which quite elaborate, very expensive, and not only is it all that, but it conveys a sense of rank and importance. Then there was the other one that I remember reading about was Daniel, because of what God accomplished through Daniel, and Daniel giving to the king the necessary information that he had to have, a golden chain was placed around his neck. lavishly supplied. Now, when we think about the bountiful giving of God, I think I made mention this past Sunday that whenever you look at this concept of sowing and reaping, it can be done in two ways. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 9, he uses the word sparingly. We're not to give sparingly. We're not to give stingy-like. Or bountifully. And the two concepts contrast this way. The one who sows sparingly has his only himself in view, whereas the one who gives bountifully has someone else in mind to bless. And so whenever we think about how God has blessed us, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's a lavish blessing that God has bestowed upon his people. Whenever we think about this matter of replication, it is cited here in verse number 14 that we give as God gives to us. Now there's a two word repetition in a variety of verses in the New Testament that illustrate this. And I liken it to the concept of repetition to the use of a fork and or spoon. When one's sitting at the table, you've observed a hungry soul with either or both utensils shoveling it in. Keeps putting it in. Keeps putting it in. He's replicating. The first one goes in and he gets one just to, with the same load on it, puts it in. He keeps going and he keeps going and he keeps going. And the theory behind it is if he does that all the time, he's going to grow a little bit. He's going to add some weight. So when we think about this concept of replication, think about what Jesus said and the two key words in each of these trigger verses are the words even as. Even as. Jesus said in John 15, for example, that he would have his disciples keep the Father's commandments even as he does. Replication, the keeping, there's the, in the word keep, there's that continuity, that replication. When we think about the Apostle Paul's words to the Corinthian church, he said, he encouraged them, be ye followers of me, even as I am of God. Even as. Keep doing it. The following, in the following, there's the replication, a continuous, unending, unceasing action. In the book of Ephesians, there's a couple of references. First one in chapter 4, where it says, be ye kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. And then the next one is a charge to the husband. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loves the church. That never stops. That love for the church on the part of Christ to us, that's always ongoing. He's always continuously displaying and expressing his love to us. When we get to the epistles of John, in 1 John 2 verse 6, the apostle said there that we should walk, live, even as the Lord lived. Walk as he walked. And then in that chapter or that verse of hope, in 1 John 3, verse 3, where it talks about those who have the hope of the Lord's return, something supernaturally occurs in each person's heart in as much as they purify themselves even as he is pure. So this replication goes on, and it makes for fat Christianity. Replication, even as, makes for fat Christianity. The concept is in the New Testament. What is it that a skinny carcass, speaking of the body of Christ now, portrays to the world? What does a skinny carcass, the body of Christ, convey to the world? What does an anorexic outlook convey to the world? What does skimpy eating convey to the world? Whereas we are called upon to grow in grace. We grow, we gain weight as we eat. We are nourished up in the Word of God. The Lord himself said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so you have this idea of replication, gaining weight, growing in grace. And then there's a place in the New Testament, if you would please, at Romans 12. Romans 12 and the 8th verse. Again, right in the center of the verse is the word give. The 8th verse says, with regard to the exercise of the sundry gifts that God's people have, speaks about he that giveth. He who has the ministry of the gift of giving. It says, let him do it with simplicity. With simplicity. The sense of the word does convey a strain of sincerity, but even as that is true, there is a largeness of generosity expressed in that giving. That giving in simplicity, a largeness, not a skimpiness, not a stinginess, not a sparingliness, but rather that which is bountiful. And then we come back to the book of Proverbs, just for a moment. Proverbs 11. I'm thinking verse 25. Yes. In its context, it sets right here in this little setting, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet or appropriate. But the withholding tends to poverty. Verse 25 says, the liberal soul, that would be us, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And then it goes on to clarify that in the same verse. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. When I thought about that, the concept of the watering, it took me right back to the passage that we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians 3, where there it says, some plant. Paul said, I planted, Apollos has watered. Now, it only makes sense if you understand that for an individual to freely and luxuriously and generously give of his water only really makes an impact if you understand that water in the context is in short supply. And a man is wise and prudent if he conserves sufficient for himself. The reasoning of the world, whether it is the water or anything else, the reasoning of the world is, well, I've got to be prudent about what I dispense so that I can be assured that I will always have sufficient for myself and my own. But the verse here says that kind of an attitude tends to poverty. Whereas if God has blessed you with water, give as God has prospered. And be assured that God will water even as you water. God will give even as you give. Now that should never become a motive for doing so, but just a statement of a fact. And you, as the generous-hearted people that you are over the years, have found that to be true. As a church, as it's made decisions about how it's going to function financially, there were many times when we really didn't know if the budget was going to allow for taking on a missionary. And I think on at least one occasion, Mrs. Laird challenged the church in a business meeting. This was many years ago. You probably already forgot about it. Some things I forget, some things I don't. But I do remember this. And you said something along the line that if God wants us to partner with this individual missionary, then God will not only supply the necessary funds to do it, but he will bless the church because they step out in faith. And sure enough, when the church voted to do that, when there really wasn't any flex in the budget, that's exactly what God did. And we have found that to be true time after time after time as a church family and as individuals. As God has prospered, I mean, that's basically what we have as a theme in 1 Corinthians 16 too, where the instructions to the church was in getting prepared to make that collection for the needy saints in Macedonia, or in Jerusalem, pardon me. Give as God prospers. Don't worry about so much holding back so that you'll have sufficient for your own needs, but give as God lays it on your heart, and God will likewise bless in return. He never pulls people up short. And so when we look at this reference again, the liberal soul, and that's very specific word that has in mind generosity, largeness of heart, very generous. The generous soul shall be made fat. So I say that there's nothing wrong with fat liberal Christianity. Matter of fact, it is a thing to be desired and grateful for when God does so on our behalf. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, will you allow us to retain that which is needful for our own souls in the circumstances that we find ourselves in presently? And Lord, would you then hear our prayers tonight as we offer them up? We are glad, dear God, for your very presence. We're thankful for your interest in our lives. We're thankful that you value us as you do. You've made us in your image. You have created us for a purpose. Help us to be diligent in doing the will of God for Jesus' sake. Amen.